St. Augustine kicks off the party of a lifetime. Good morning and live. And on the go, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I'm Melissa Ross. Yes, we are live from St. Augustine for the full hour this morning for the city's incredible 450th celebration, the 450th anniversary of the founding of the nation's oldest city. Pedro Menendez landed on these shores here in St. Augustine on September 8, 1565, making this the oldest continuously occupied European settlement on the continent. Some 450 years later, the city is celebrating its diverse history in a big way, with a week-long celebration projected to bring in tourists from around the world. Even the King and Queen of Spain are expected to visit St. Augie for this momentous occasion. So much to see and do here for the 450th. This morning, we're going to spend the full hour telling you all about it. A big thanks to the St. Augustine Pirate and Treasure Museum as our broadcast location here in the city's historic district, right in the shadow of the historic Castillo, to share all the details of the 450th. Just ahead, city officials will join us to tell us everything that's on tap. Then later, how rich faith traditions in America's oldest city are playing such a huge role in the big celebration. Plus all of the music and fun of this huge bash. All of that ahead. But first this hour, street festivals, live music, and historical exhibits are drawing throngs of excited visitors to St. Augustine this week, and will all culminate with the reenactment of the city's founding next week on Tuesday, September 8th. Lots to discuss as the 450th officially gets underway. Here to start us off, we welcome St. Augustine Mayor Nancy Shaver. Mayor Shaver, good to see you.
Good to see you. Delighted to be here.
Great to have you this morning. And also with us, Dana St. Clair, Director of the 450th Commemoration. Hi, Dana.
Thanks very much for having us.
Mayor, let's begin with you. First off, this is your first time on the show. You were elected about 6 months ago. Congratulations, first public office, and it was an exciting moment for the city. First elected female mayor of St. Augustine.
That would be me.
Yeah. So, and right off the bat, you're handling this massive global event, piece of cake, right?
Piece of cake. It's a great team. Obviously, something like this doesn't just happen because I woke up this morning and said, let's have a party.
Right.
So we have just a great team I just make sure everybody comes.
Absolutely. Now, there are so many moving parts that go into something like this, years and years in the planning. Now, it's all coming together over the next week. Let's begin with what we can expect over the next week. Let's talk about some of the biggest events and attractions. What can people look forward to?
People can look forward to, I would say, the best birthday party anyone would ever go to in 450 years. We have musical events, we have cultural events, our streets will be closed. This is very much like going to a European extravaganza in the oldest city in the country. So we have great music, lots of fun. Birthday cake, of course.
Of course. Dana St. Clair, the 450th commemoration, which you direct, has worked so hard for so many years. And this has global impact. The King and Queen of Spain are coming later in September. This is historic. It's exciting. And there's been a lot of planning. Tell us a little bit about the logistics that went into this and what people need to know about as they come down and try to enjoy the fun.
Well, first of all, we have a number of people, as the mayor said, on a comprehensive team to deliver this. Logistics and operations are being handled by Chief Lauren Luders, who delivered our Mumford & Sons concert a couple of years ago. We tapped into perhaps the finest production company for our entertainment. That's Ryan Murphy and Gabe Pelletier with the amphitheater. They brought us these wonderful national acts, Aaron Neville, Emmylou Harris, a lot of local talent as well too. So the logistics and the operations, while the event's been on the paper for a couple of years, producing it in great detail involves an enormous amount of focus. And we have about 50 people on the team, ranging from public works to law enforcement, first response, to make sure this event is carried out So everybody has a great time and everybody is safe in the process.
Absolutely. And kudos to all of the hard work, because, of course, we're talking about a small, historic, dense little area that was designed for walking, not driving. A lot of people are going to be trying to come down with their cars, right, Mayor Shaver?
Right.
You want to make sure traffic's well-managed, foot traffic, and all of that.
We really have. We really practiced over 4th of July. This is a 4th of July is obviously big for us. I feel really confident about our parking arrangements. It's going to be a pedestrian event, but we want to encourage people to use bicycles, all of those things. We even have a water taxi from Volano, so we're really set up for people to move around easily. And to echo what Dana said, just a terrific team.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk too about some of the history behind this. There's going to be a reenactment, isn't there, of the Menendez Landing?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the historic reenactments.
I sure will. This is a reenactment of many things. We do a smaller reenactment every year. This is going to be the reenactment on a grand level. We know that on September the 8th, 1565, Pedro Menendez and 800 colonists landed here. Men, women, and children, cross-trained soldiers. They landed with every intention of living out their lives in the New World, provisions for 2 years. It became the first American colony, the first American settlement. So when the Spanish stepped off the ship, they became Hispanic Americans, the Africans became African Americans, they blended with the Native Americans. It really was the site of first America. It was the genesis of the American culture. So we like to say, yeah, we're celebrating our birthday. We're the civic pride, the community pride for being stewards of this 450 years of history is enormous across the county. But what we are really celebrating, and we want everybody else to know, is that this is really America's birthday party. We want the Americans to participate in this.
That's right. You know, people often think of Plymouth Rock as the birthplace. Of course, St. Augustine is. Now, with any big event, there is always sometimes controversy. Native Americans are planning to protest. What's your reaction to that, Mayor Shaver, protesting the Spanish coming and conquering and instituting genocide among the Native peoples?
I actually, over the last couple of months, have spent several hours with the Resist 450 group and really understand as best I can, not being an indigenous person, what their concerns are. This is democracy. This is not just First America because it was a melting pot. It's the diversity of views and making sure that we are open to hearing other people. So they're definitely going to be part of this. We've been in touch with them, understand the logistics. There are going to be places for protest. It's our country. In many ways, that's part of the important dynamic of being First America or America.
Right. It's part of the American experience.
It is.
Dana.
Yes, it is. And what Mayor Shaver said is very important. The community has been that way for a long, long time. That diversity strengthens the community. But we also want people to know the real story. Yes, there were some atrocities. The Spanish incursion in other places of the New World was not exactly the best thing for the indigenous populations. But in St. Augustine, it was a little different. The Native Americans, the Timucuan Indians at the village of Saloy, actually invited the Spanish in to live with them for almost a year. And during that 1 year, in this epic moment in world history, Old World and New World cultures exchanged traditions, ideas, words, languages, foods, and everything else. So there really wasn't an incursion. There wasn't genocide there. It was really the genesis, the foundation of the American culture.
Speaking of the Old World, there's been so much interest in the King and Queen of Spain, Felipe and Letizia, visiting St. Augustine on September 18th. I hear their itinerary is still in flux, but what can you tell us about this young, glamorous couple, royal couple, coming to town?
It's, again, part of a tradition. His father came, and it is a sense of both pride and history. And you're right, the itinerary is still in flux. These are the royals, and they decide what is important to them to see. We're incredibly excited. I've spent time with the Spanish delegation, the Consul General. We've definitely done all of the necessary advance work and just delighted. And I understand that Queen Leticia prefers to wear very high heels, so the itinerary has to accommodate a lot of those logistics as well.
Now,
so
people in this country are familiar with William and Kate,
yes.
The young Spanish couple. They're on that level of glamour and excitement,
yes.
in their own way.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Right. So it's very cool. And so with all of that said, Dana and Mayor Shaver, what are your final words of advice for people planning to come down and party and have fun at this big event?
Well, first of all, plan on having fun. We have everything from fireworks to food to wonderful performances. Emma is doing their wonderful thing out at the amphitheater. But plan for it. We have every bit of information that you can imagine. Go online, www.staugustine-450, and look at the Celebrate 450 agenda, and look at the traffic, the transit, the shuttles, all of that, and make yourselves comfortable. Come in and celebrate America's birthday party with us.
Mayor Shaver, the main garage where people like to park, is that our best bet for parking?
There's an incredible network of parking all over the city, and I want to echo what Dana said. If you're hearing about this for the first time or just thinking about it, it's going to be a great party, and come and have a great time.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with both of you. Thanks so much for stopping by on this hot morning, looking out over the bayfront to share some wisdom with us. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate you being here, and thank you very much.
We absolutely do, and I hope you're planning to hang around.
Yes, well, we are. We are definitely hanging around as we kick this show off with St. Augustine Mayor Nancy Shaver and Dana St. Clair, director of the 450th commemoration. Lots more still to come on this special broadcast. Later, we'll hear about some of the incredible music and entertainment going on around the 450th. But up next, a look at the role of faith traditions here in St. Augustine as the city gets ready for its big party. This is First Coast Connect, live and on the go from the 450th. We're back in a moment.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
Big day at the job. Make it break time. They're all waiting for you right now in the conference room. Well, they're going to have to wait because you're not leaving the radio until you hear the end of that story. Snap Judgment from NPR. Storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Every day on Morning Edition, it's the news you can't do without.
This morning, we've been looking at what's happening.
There's conservatism, libertarianism, environmentalism, religion.
We're not props. We're just everyday people.
The crowd, the joy, the sense of hope.
Historic.
Listen to the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings beginning at 5 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Relax Radio is the great American songbook, oldies and light jazz.
The thing that's cool for me is that I it feels like it's the music of my life.
Relax Radio is the station you can listen to all day on your HD radio. Make a $120 gift to WJCT and you'll receive an HD radio so you can tune in to Relax. Call 904-353-9528 for more information.
Well, Welcome back to First Coast Connect, live and on the go from St. Augustine this morning. We're broadcasting for the full hour today from the 450th celebrations in the nation's oldest city. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for tuning in. You know, the St. Augustine Catholic Diocese has a full day of important activities planned on September 8th. That is the city's actual birth date. Did you know that St. Augustine is the birthplace of Catholicism in America? Not only that, there was an incredible interfaith service held in town the other night as part of all the festivities that drew hundreds of people. We're joined now by Father Tom Willis of the Cathedral Basilica St. Augustine. Father Tom, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Melissa. Good morning.
And also with us, the Reverend Ken Wilcox. He's senior minister at the Center for Spiritual Living St. Augustine.
Welcome, Melissa. Thanks for having us.
Gentlemen, so good to have you both. Father Willis, let's begin with you. As I mentioned, St. Augustine is the birthplace of Catholicism in this country, and the first parish, Catholic parish in the U.S. was formed right here in St. Augustine. So naturally, when we talk about the 450th, your parish, your cathedral is an integral part of what's happening. Tell us what all is on your agenda. There's so much happening.
Yeah, you really can't tell the story of the founding of St. Augustine without the inclusion of the Catholic faith in it, because the very first act that Pedro Menendez did was to kiss a cross as he came ashore that was offered to him by the lead priest on his expedition, Father Francisco Lopez. So over the years, the Catholic community has always planned a full series of events for the anniversaries of the founding of St. Augustine. This year we will do our traditional reenactment that will begin at 9 o'clock at the Mission of Nombre de Dios. Then following that, we're going to have what we call a grand procession that will take us from the mission on the streets of St. Augustine, around the fort and the bayfront, to get us to the Cathedral Basilica, where at 11 o'clock, Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston, who is Pope Francis' special envoy to us for these celebrations, will be the main celebrant and homilist for the commemorative mass for that day.
Not only that, it's my understanding you've been coordinating with the Vatican for a number of years now to acquire a relic that will be part of your observances. Is that right?
Yes. One of my hopes back 7 years ago when I first was assigned to the cathedral as the pastor was to dream of the possibility of bringing a first class, a significant relic of our patron saint to St. Augustine for these celebrations. I felt that, you know, for a town that is named after St. Augustine of Hippo, wouldn't it be nice if we could find a way to get a relic of his over from the Vatican for these celebrations? The Vatican has been much freer in allowing these kind of relics to travel the world now. And Bishop Estevez, through some of his channels in the Vatican and others, were able to finally make that happen earlier this year, and the relic arrived in late June.
That's fascinating. And of course, Reverend Ken Wilcox, Catholicism was the original faith on these shores some 450 years ago, but there is a strong interfaith tradition in St. Augustine. Just the other night, you were involved in a really exciting event. Tell us about it.
Sure. We had the service, the interfaith service at First United Methodist Church, and we had over 14 representatives from different spiritualities. Everyone from the First Nation community to Hindu, Buddhist, Islamic, Jewish, Christian, Catholic, and Protestant, and our New Thought community. Because as you mentioned, yes, the first celebration of Catholicism was on our shores, but historically, we believe that there were some converted Jews and Muslims a part of that, and the first Americans brought their spiritual tradition. So even though it was a Catholic service, it began with a melting pot of spirituality, and so we're still exploring and celebrating that.
And it speaks to the larger culture in this city, particularly in recent years. At least that's the feedback I tend to get a lot from listeners to this program. What are your thoughts about that?
I think St. Augustine is opening its arms wide for the world, and the world is coming in and finding what an amazing place this is. You know, we have such a vibrant artist community here, and everyone that comes here falls in love with all the restaurants we have here. We have a great educational institution here in Flagler. So this is a wonderful place to be, and the world is falling in love with St. Augustine.
And if you'll allow me just to piggyback on that quickly, you know, we've always thought of the United States of America as the big melting pot. The fact of the matter is that melting pot began right here in 1565 with the expedition that Menendez had, because it wasn't just Spaniards. We know that there were Germans, others, Portuguese, that were on that on those ships. So we began it all here, and then the way in which they interacted with the indigenous peoples showed that melting pot just continuing to expand.
How do you both, as men of faith who preach love and forgiveness, how do you react to the protests from the groups of indigenous people who take great offense to the celebration around the 450th?
Yes, there are groups of people who do take offense, and we understand that and reach out to them, and we've been in discussion. But also in our celebration, there were people of the First Nation that were celebrating with us. And one of the things that they were insistent upon was that our service not be a service of lament, it'd be a service of celebration. As Father Tom and I were talking about earlier, yes, you know, you can't have a history of humanity for 450 years and not have some big mess ups. But let us not tie ourselves down with guilt, but let us rise up to the possibilities that we have of coming together as a one people and one voice.
You know, also, Father Willis, I would think that for the churches in this community, with the eyes of the world on this city, it's an opportunity to share the good news, as you might say, with all of the people coming here. Do you see this as an opportunity for your church?
Oh, of course. And with the Pope taking a personal interest by sending Cardinal O'Malley here, it makes it that much more a heightened expectation of what we're going to be doing here. You know, one of the things that I hope that we also recognize, to go back just quickly to your previous question to Ken, you know, anytime a couple celebrates their anniversary, they've got to look at back at the good times and the bad, and so do we when we come to 450 years. We're not saying that everything was rosy. We're not we're not trying to shove things under the rug, so to speak. There is a sense that we have to learn from past history. And so hopefully the Catholic Church, the whole interfaith community, has helped us as a society continue to learn what that is. And each of us brings our own different religious faith to that conversation in order to find ways to get past the injustices of the past.
Now, there are so many events planned. Where can people who are interested in participating, how can they learn and take part?
I would encourage them to come to the mission for the 9 o'clock reenactment and get involved in the procession. Even though the admission to the cathedral for the Mass is by ticket only, we are going to be also simulcasting the Mass on a jumbotron outside the cathedral in our West Courtyard. And thanks to Flagler College, we will also be showing the Mass live in their auditorium. So there are ways for people to get involved. Parking and traffic, I would just ask that people plan for.
Maybe say a prayer.
Sorry,
I couldn't resist.
And light a candle, too.
Or if you are not a person of faith, maybe a little curse word. I don't know. I don't know. But Father Tom Willis of the Cathedral Basilica St. Augustine, the Reverend Ken Wilcox, Senior Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living St. Augustine. Gentlemen, so good to see you, and enjoy yourselves. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
And much more still to come from this special broadcast live and on the go from the 450th in St. Augustine. We're back in a moment.
Join us for the radio variety show that celebrates the culture, art, and history of Northeast Florida.
Wake up in the morning,
Swamp Radio features musicians, poets, playwrights, and interviews that tell the unique story of our home.
My idea was to take them to the epicenter of Southern cooking, the Waffle House.
What you do best is most everything.
Swamp Radio, Friday evening at 7 on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm Catherine Burns, one of the hosts of the Moth Radio Hour, and I hope you'll join us here on 89.9 WJCT. With true personal stories told live without notes to standing room crowds around the world, Moth stories aren't part of the disposable daily information flow. They stick with you, and you'll even find yourself retelling them. Listen Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on 89.9 WJCT.
Here are a couple of things you can do in a half an hour. You could get in a quick workout, watch a rerun of The Office, run an errand or two if you really hustle, or you could get a handle on all the day's business and economic news on Marketplace. We'll take 30 minutes to let you know what's important and why it matters to you. Think of us as the part of the newspaper you skip over in the morning. Just a lot more fun. Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Looking for fresh music? Join us weeknights at 7 for After Hours. You'll hear everything from jazz to electronica, only on 89.9 FM After Hours.
Welcome back to our special live broadcast on the go from downtown St. Augustine. Hey, yes, and a special thanks to the city's Pirate and Treasure Museum. That's our location this morning. Everybody, let's hear your best pirate sounds. Arrgh! You know, you can't think of St. Augustine without thinking of pirates and shipwrecks and booty. Zach Lively, the Pirate and Treasure Museum's Director of Communications, sitting here with me now. Hey, Zach, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm doing fine, thanks.
You know, this is a great museum to visit. Lots of great tourist attractions in the nation's oldest city, but yours is really fascinating. I did not realize this, but you guys relocated here from Key West a few years ago, correct?
That's true. Our founder, Pat Croce, opened the museum in Key West in 2005. And then after being a frequent visitor to St. Augustine, he decided that he wanted to move the museum to a more family-friendly location. And not that there's anything wrong with Key West, but he thought that St. Augustine would be a more appropriate place for a museum that celebrates the history of piracy, and considering St. Augustine's history and our connection to pirates, this is just the perfect place for it.
Now, there are some incredible artifacts inside the Pirate Museum, which, by the way, this location can't be beat. We are facing right onto the historic Castillo de San Marcos, so if people are walking along the main drag here, they can't miss your spot, your location. Inside, I believe, is Blackbeard's original blunderbuss. That's just one of your artifacts.
That is just one of the artifacts that we've got inside. There are over 800 artifacts in the museum, and stuff from the Blackbeard era all the way up to the Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow era.
How did you acquire all this stuff?
Well, our owner, Pat, has been collecting for a little over 30 years. And so in that period of time, throughout his various careers, he has made a lot of connections throughout the pirate and treasure hunting community.
Now, Cindy Stavely, Executive Director of the museum, is going to join us now as well. Cindy, we just talked about the Johnny Depp Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. That, I'm sure, has brought additional interest to the museum. But isn't it true that people just like pirates all the time? There's always interest in pirates.
They do, and it's really wonderful and surprising to see how people embrace the pirate life of all ages and walks of life. The guests that we have come through the museum, we have little ones and their grandparents and everybody in between that absolutely love everything there is to learn and see about the pirates. And then there's all the pirates that like to dress up like pirates, the crews and everything, and we have some wonderful pirates that live the life for us in the museum, like our own Captain Mayhem. He's our pirate ambassador, I guess you could say, but he's well known for all of his wonderful things that he does for charities in the name of his pirate crew, as well as for the pirate museum. But people really do embrace the pirate life.
Now, with the 450th, there's so much history involving St. Augustine's port and the ships that have gone in and out. How do you see this as an educational opportunity for the museum?
Well, we're located right here across from the Castillo de San Marcos. Back in 1668, when the pirate Robert Searles attacked the city, the reason that fort was built because Queen Mariana of Spain was tired of being attacked by pirates, and she wanted something that would really protect the city. So a lot of the history that formed the city was because of Drake's raid in 1586 and 1668 with Charleroi were two really significant pirate attacks that changed the course of the history of St. Augustine.
What's the most common misconception people have about pirates and piracy up and down the Florida coast, you know?
Well, there are a lot of myths about piracy, and a few things that we just, you know, kind of talk about and relate to in the museum are, one, the myth that every pirate had buried treasure somewhere.
Ah.
That was not really a common occurrence. We're happy to dispel that. Although the pirates, you know, there were a couple that did try to save their treasures, but that really wasn't that wasn't the lifestyle. They got the loot and they went and spent the loot.
Uh-huh.
And another theory that we always try to debunk a little bit is the reason behind the eye patch that some pirates wear.
Yeah? Why did they have it?
A lot of people think that's because, you know, they would get injured, they would lose an eye. Sometimes that did happen. However, when you're out on the sea in the blaring sunlight and you raid another ship and you have to go below deck to gather the treasure, you're going to want to have at least one eye that's accustomed to the darkness so that you can see in the dark.
Fascinating.
So when they would attack the ships, they would go down into the holds, move the eye patch over to the eye that had been in the sun all day. That way they could see more in the dark.
Only the pirate museum would know that. Now, do we know why the pirate museum, why pirates had their own special lingo? You know, they're all their own slang.
I think a lot of that is part of the myth that was brought about by Treasure Island movies and actors that did that. So, I mean, that's the Hollywood version of pirates. When you think about the way that pirates dress and the way they talk like normal sailors and normal people. It's Hollywood that has put that lingo out there for that, for people to think that that's, the, you know, separate them from regular sailors. But in all reality, they dressed with whatever clothes that they had, that they plundered. If they, you know, if they raided a noble ship, they dressed like nobles. If they raided just a regular merchant ship, they dressed like regular sailors, and they talked like everybody else talked.
Now, do you guys have anything special planned for the 450th? Will some of your pirate ambassadors be out there in the crowd?
We will have a bunch of pirate ambassadors that visit us regularly that will be here during the weekend. Captain Mayhem is actually going to be in the Pirate Museum giving tours throughout the weekend as well, and there will be a lot of the St. Augustine swashbucklers out and about this weekend.
Well, Métis, it's been fun to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
very much.
To have you.
And
here.
Thanks for letting us broadcast from your front porch, too. It's been a perfect spot. Zach Lively and Cindy Stavely with the Pirate and Treasure Museum, and much more still to come on this special broadcast, live and on the go from St. Augustine. We are back in a moment.
If you love All Things Considered, consider joining us a few hours early for Afternoons on WJCT. The Takeaway offers a fresh way to look at the news, featuring critical conversations, reports from the field, and listener participation. That's followed by The World, with engaging voices to illuminate what's going on around the globe and why it matters to you. It's the smart way to spend your afternoons. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
Great question. That is a great question.
And that's a great question. Wow, that's another great question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great that's a great question.
That is a great question.
What a great question.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear unexpected questions and unexpected answers. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
Next time on NPR's Ask Me Another, our VIP Bon Appetit's editor-in-chief Adam Rappaport weighs in on one of his pet peeves, Yelp reviews.
I went to this place for my anniversary, and it was just like, they service. I was like, dude, what are you talking?
Get a life.
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, for a culinary journey on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Tasty Trivia.
Sundays at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Hi, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And we're the guys from Deemable Tech.
Hey, if you've got a question about your computer, mobile phone, tablet, or the internet...
And who doesn't?
We're here to help.
Join us Thursdays during Morning Edition and All Things Considered here on WJCT.
And check out our podcast online at deemable.com.
That's deemable.com.
Welcome back to First Coast Connect, live and on the go from the 450th celebrations in St. Augustine. Now, in just a moment, we'll hear more about all the entertainment going on here this week. But right now, we want to take a minute to talk about the upcoming First Coast Heart Walk. It's the largest walk in Jacksonville, with more than 20,000 people getting together to walk to raise money for the number one killer of all Americans, cardiovascular disease, and the number five killer, stroke. Here with more, we welcome Heart Walk Chair Darnell Smith of Florida Blue. Darnell, good to see you.
Good morning.
And also with us, Jody Hunter, father of our Heart Walk ambassador, Blake Hunter. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Jody, let's start with you. Your son, Blake, was born a month early. He's such a cutie pie. You brought him with you this morning. And within a few hours of his birth, you discovered he had a heart murmur. Is that right?
That's correct. He was born at Flagler Hospital, and they found out he had a murmur. And from that, we ended up being transferred to Wilson's Children's Hospital into the NICU unit, which is their ICU. And he spent 9 days in the NICU unit and then had his first open heart surgery.
Wow. That and for you and the family, I just can't even imagine what that was like as new parents.
It was pretty devastating. I mean, the first 30 hours of his life, you know, you thought everything was normal. There was no problems. And it was after that that we, you know, kind of found out what was going on, but didn't really grasp the situation, you know, how really critical that it was. So it was tough. It really was.
Sure. But at 15 months old, Darnell Smith, Blake is running around, having a great time,
yes,
doing
is.
Well. He's thriving.
He is absolutely thriving. And so this is what, you know, it's all about. As you just think about children, they certainly can't do anything about these kind of situations. And this is where we come in. And so as I have gotten to know Blake and certainly gotten to know him through Jody and Angela, his parents, it has really renewed my commitment to make certain that we do everything possible to hopefully prevent, but certainly treat and eventually defeat this heart disease and stroke.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about Florida Blue's involvement and also the Jacksonville Jaguars in Heart Walk this year, because it is really incredible.
Yeah. And so we are out in full force. Certainly, we have a number of other companies that we've been able to recruit as well to be a part of this. Certainly, when you think about organizations such as Florida Blue and certainly the Jacksonville Jaguars, it is all about the community. These are the people who make our community thrive. And so we want to make certain we're doing everything possible to make certain we're meeting the needs. And so we'll be out there in full force.
People can register right up until the morning of, and all the money raised goes to help kids like Blake.
Absolutely. So at 8 a.m. That morning, September the 19th, we'll begin a lot of the activities. The actual walk begins at 9 a.m., and so folks can absolutely register all the way up to that time. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll see many activities for families. We ask that you please bring your families out there. Please bring your pets as well. It is a pet-friendly walk. We'll even have a top dog contest out there. And so we really want to make certain that this is one of our biggest walks ever. In fact, we topped 20,000 last year. I'd love to see 25,000 plus of our First Coast folks out there.
Yeah, you know, Jody, you're a St. Augustine guy, so it's great to have you here on the show today as we're broadcasting live from St. Augustine. We want people from all over the area to come out to the Heart Walk, but this is the biggest walk in Jacksonville. It is a huge one, and people think of heart disease as affecting older folks, but it helps kids like your son. This will help children, too.
Exactly. It's there. You know, the money they raise for this goes a long ways towards research and helping and maybe not preventing these things, but definitely finding a cure and helping them through this process.
Tell me a little bit about Blake's future, his prognosis. What's up for him next?
Well, Blake was, his condition actually is called truncosyteriosis. He was born missing an artery. They have an artificial artery, which they refer to in the medical form as a conduit. the problem is that they can only put in a certain size for his heart. As he grows, he will have to have larger conduits installed. So he started out with 5 millimeter. He has a 12 millimeter now. Hopefully that'll last him for the next 3 to 5 years, and at that point he will need another open heart surgery to install a larger conduit.
And how is your family handling the medical costs associated with all of that?
Well, we do have insurance, and mm-hmm. There's also been a lot of benefits, you know, for us, the local community. So my wife and I are both born and raised in St. Augustine. So we've had a lot of support. There's been fundraisers, and, you know, people just in all kind of forms of fashion that have really, you know, gave their support. So mm-hmm. it's worked out all right.
Yeah, and Darnell Smith, are you going to be out there walking?
We're going to be out there. We're going to be out there in full force. And in fact, he has a birthday coming up. Is that right?
That's correct. He has a birthday October 14th.
And so we can make this the biggest birthday bash in Jacksonville. Certainly, all about the First Coast, and we'd love to have as many people out there. But we'll be out there. This is what I love about the First Coast. We help each other, and I think if we can really help ask people to be there in full force, to think about others and certainly their own loved ones. This is a disease, heart disease that is, and certainly stroke, that we can absolutely do quite a bit to prevent. 80% of heart disease and stroke can be prevented, and it's about learning about those things, and we'll have a lot of that out there. And certainly treating it, we got some of the best medical services on the First Coast, and then eventually we want a cure, and this is where the research comes in.
Now, does the walk take off from Everbank Field?
It does.
Yeah.
It is Everbank Field, but right across the Metropolitan Park, and that's where it will kick off.
That's right. And I want to quickly mention that out of 32 teams in the NFL, the Jaguars are the only team so committed to the American Heart Association that they're offering incentives to an elite group of executives in Jacksonville. It's called the Citywide Executive Challenge. And there are a whole tier of different incentives. Depending on how much you donate, you can have things ranging from a private reception in the owner's suite, different tickets to home games, VIP experiences, and more. So lots of goodies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just find out all about it at firstcoastheartwalk.org. Jody Hunter's son, Blake Hunter, is the Heart Walk Ambassador this year. This is the biggest walk in the city. And Jody and Darnell Smith of Florida Blue, one of the major supporters of this event. Guys, I so appreciate you sitting outside on this hot morning with us as we broadcast live from St. Augustine. Thanks for being troopers and being on the show. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we're back in a moment with more news from St. Augustine's 450th. Keep listening.
Something wonderful, cabinets of curiosity. They were popular in the 18th century and they're back.
They're first of all meant to astonish us. They're meant to jolt us out of our everyday habits of thought. And then they're meant to provoke our curiosity.
Cabinets of curiosity next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI.
Sundays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT, community supported public radio.
Exotic tropical diseases are reappearing down south in the U.S.
Things like dengue and chikungunya and Chagas disease, we really have no idea that they're even here, let alone what kind of disease burden that they're causing.
Decades of ignoring a public health risk have come back to bite us. I'm Steve Kerwood, and that's next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on 89.9 WJCT.
Learn how the Green Book used to help African-American travelers find a safe welcome around the USA.
People who are a certain age have memories of the Green Book and how it was so helpful to them on the open road.
And hear about the gentle rivalries that persist between Norwegians, Danes, and Swedes.
Norwegians, we tend to understand the Swedes better than the Swedes understand us.
On the next Travel with Rick Steves.
Saturday mornings at 7 on 89.9 WJCT. WJCT is proud to be your number one preset for your evening commute. But if you only turn on 89.9 when you're driving, here's what you're missing.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for
listening. This is The World.
Spend your afternoons with WJCT for unique conversations about the topics of the day. Join us weekdays from 2 to 6 for The Takeaway, The World, and All Things Considered. It's the smart way to spend your afternoon.
Welcome back. We're live from St. Augustine for the city's 450th celebration for the full hour this morning. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, broadcasting live from the St. Augustine Pirate and Treasure Museum this morning. Well, finally this hour, we've got to look at all the music and fun of the week-long festivities as we speak with Diana Markovitz and Ryan Murphy of the St. Augustine Amphitheater. Guys, good morning. It's so good to talk to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And you always do such a stellar job of bringing amazing musical talent to town. I bet you've really outdone yourselves for this big bash. What's on tap? Tell us all about it.
Well, it's pretty exciting. Starting tonight, there's three bands from Avilés that are going to be playing for free at Lewis Auditorium, which is pretty phenomenal that they've come over for this. And then beyond the 60 to 80 local performers around town on miscellaneous stages, we have Aaron Neville, Mavis Staples tomorrow night downtown right on the Bayfront. And then Saturday night, Justin Townes Earl, J.J. Gray Mofro, and Emmy Lou Harris and Rodney Crowell, some of my favorites and some that I'm so excited to see.
No, wait a minute. When you said three bands from Avilés, you mean Spain?
Avilés, Spain, yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
We're talking some bands from across the ocean have come over here. Diana, there is global interest in this event. This is a global happening, isn't
it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this has been so many years in the planning, and for it to finally be culminating this weekend is very exciting. You can feel the energy in the city. The stages are being built. Tents are, you know, being constructed. It's just a very exciting time.
How many stages?
We have five stages.
Five stages. Okay. And what's the main stage, or is there a main stage?
The main stage is the one that's being built on the Bayfront. And as soon as you come over the bridge, it's going to be smack right there.
Okay.
And it's pretty epic. And that's the one that's going to have Emmy Lou and Rodney Crowell, Mavis Staples, Aaron Neville.
How did you go through the process for choosing your headliners, your secondary acts? What was that like?
Well, I had a list of probably a couple hundred artists that I was going through, and I really wanted to look at ones that would reflect the vibe of the town. So to get people that had more of an authentic, like earthy, just really good vibe, I think there's a really good variety. And then all the bands performing all around town are all local talent. We stuck to just the amazing local artists, the local programming we have going on. I'm really proud of what came together.
So it's kind of like a coming out party, I guess, for a lot of up-and-coming bands too, Diana, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Nikki Blum and the Gramblers are starting out Saturday night, and people may or may not be aware of her and the band, but she's going to kick off to a great evening for Saturday night. Really rowdy, really fun. We just expect it to be a really great street music party.
Now, there's also an España event coming up Sunday. What's that all about?
Absolutely. Sunday night at the St. Augustine Amphitheater, as you know or may not know, the amphitheater was part of the 400th commemoration, so it's a legacy project. So for us to be involved in a Sunday night event with the Emma Concert Series to present the Ensemble Español Spanish Dance Theater is very exciting for us. Gates open at 3 from 4 to 7. There are free events, reenactments, demonstrations, family-friendly events, family-friendly activities. And then starting at 7:30, the Spanish Dance Theater will begin. And it's flamenco, classical Spanish dance, ballet, 18th century dance, and castanets. It's going to be a phenomenally amazing event.
This city has attracted a lot of artists, and there's a cultural explosion happening here. There's a lot of youthful energy. Mm-hmm. It's changed a lot since 1965, I think it's an understatement to say, when the civil rights movement was roiling the city, when they were planning their 400th festivities, and the civil rights movement was extremely divisive. Now, it's my understanding you want to talk about how the St. Augustine Amphitheater is actually a legacy project from that era. Is that right? Tell me about the history of that.
Yeah, so The St. Augustine Amphitheater was built as a legacy project. There was people in the community that really wanted to give money towards something that would have a lasting impact on the community. And here we are 50 years later, and it's pretty phenomenal. I've been there about 5.5 years, and I'm really proud of my staff and just the support we get, the artists we get. I mean, year after year, it's pretty incredible to see the people that want to come to St. Augustine.
You guys look, I'm going to say it right out loud. You look a little tired.
I'm not tired.
I think coffee can't cure.
It is. I'm sure.
Thanks,
it has
Melissa.
Let me finish my thought. I can't even imagine how hard you've worked to pull this off. I know, and everyone involved with this, from the mayor and everyone else that's been on the program and many people who have not, what's gone into all of this. This is one of the biggest events, if not the biggest event, this city's ever seen. So it's got to be pretty exciting and rewarding to be part of.
Absolutely, and it's great to see so many people in the community come together. I mean, for us, we're county employees, to be working with the city, all the different organizations around town, all the local businesses. It's great. We're one big, huge team, and it feels like it.
Now, what advice do you have for people who love music? There's no way they can see it all. How can they go about trying to get, hit the highlights of this festival?
I would definitely visit the website, the saintaugustine-450.com website, and try and plan out your schedule. There's also a great app for both the iPhone and the Android to search St. Augustine 450 in the App Store, mm-hmm. and go through it and see who you want to see, and then just wander. I mean, you're going to come across something that you're just taken by a mint.
Yep.
Yeah, and music, you guys are the music experts, but there's other stuff happening. I mean, there's dining, there's art, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of attractions, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When we chose all the local artists, we actually chose a lot of cultural programming that would reflect the history here. So we have a lot of people doing cooking demonstrations, dance, artwork, like speaking engagements. It's pretty exciting.
Archaeological dig over at the Kids Zone.
Yeah,
there you go.
There's a little bit of everything, and it's been thrilling to be part of it this hour. Ryan Murphy and Diana Markovitz with the St. Augustine Amphitheater. Have a great time,
and catch up
on sleep, right? Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's our program. We've had a ball down here in St. Augustine, broadcasting live and on the go from the 450th celebrations. Thanks for listening this morning. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chepchik. Make sure to subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Diane Rehm is up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be back in studio again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.